The issue of the employment equity report, I think we get the point that we need to do a proper breakdown of the statistics rather than give the high level matter. I can commit that we can, when we go back to the office, we can send to the secretariat the actual breakdown per level, including the racial breakdown, detailed report that we can send to you. It will be the report that in our annual report you will find it, because it's a compulsory report that we present. But we can send it maybe by Thursday. The issue about reports, you see, we've introduced a very strict regime that anything that comes to my office, the internal audit need to audit and make sure that there's evidence is provided of the work that they say have been achieved. Because what we find is that it will be by the end of the financial year, when we now have to be audited by the Auditor General, that you find that we say, oh, okay, we didn't have evidence. And the Auditor General, there's no gray area. They say it's either you have it or it was not done. So you find that work is done, and the internal audit has to look into this information. And by the time I sign to say, yes, this is the report, it's already in the next quarter. Actually, the exco, we were discussing this matter to say, are we not too strict? Because sometimes other reports, they say you submit it on the 7th of the following month, and it will be regarded as if it was signed off for the other court, for the previous quarter. And it's an area that there's a team that we've established which looks into this program, that we will also interact with Treasury and also with DPME, whether we should allow that. If I've signed it by the 7th, when it was delivered, because I also have time to, I must read whatever I'm signing before that. So that's an area that we're looking into to avoid this issue of saying, it was not submitted, it was not signed on time, but when we report the next quarter, we will clarify how we are addressing that that matter. The posts on the DPCI judge, this is the full time work in terms of the act that established the DPCI judge. We are responsible to house the DPCI judge, but they have budget. I don't know what's the word they use. It's not ring fence, but it's a dedicated budget to the DPCI judge. But I'm still the accounting officer for that budget. So when we count in terms of the number of posts, we also count the number of posts in the DPCI judge. We've made a submission recently to the minister just to formalize this, and the DPCI judge in our structure will be reflected as such, and also the DNA board also, that structure is clearly there. It's also one of the responsibility that we have to provide the secretarial support to the DNA board. And perhaps that's why also in terms of the posts versus the vacancy, that tally, because there are a lot of posts that were approved additional to the establishment, and we are trying to clean that up. Um, The Firearms Appeal Board, by the end of March, it was transferred back to SAPS. I think members will recall that I reported here that we looked into the legislation and we couldn't find anything in our legislation which says that the Firearms Appeals Board must be part of the CSP. So it has been moved to SAPS, and that's one of the intervention that we made, which made us to actually meet our budget at the end of the financial year, because we were spending on their salaries, their travel, and everything, which was not supposed to be in our funds. So SAPS had to reimburse us on that. There's another question which I think it's Honorable Muller that asked, referring to the slides. I was too slow to scribble down. I just want to I can't recall. I would like to ask if Honorable Muller can ask that again so that I can get it. Muller?
Thank you, Chairperson. I asked in two slides. In slide four,
fourth quarter.
Yeah. What do you mean of lack of capacity? And in slide five again, what was the reason of not visiting five stations in the third quarter?
Okay.
Because secretary, in most cases, the targets are not very high. It's not, if you compare it with other departments we oversee, and those targets are not met. So it's a cause of concern. So if you can just maybe give us an assurance.
Thanks, Chair. The issue of capacity in partnership is twofold. It's capacity in terms of the people that are there. It's one of those units that have been used as a dumping ground, and we are feeling that a brand. That's one thing, and there was no leadership. As the chief director was moved, there was somebody acting in that position as a leadership. And I think in the previous presentation I indicated that's why Mr. Moremi was actually brought in, and that was already in March, end of the year. So that in itself, and it's something that when issues of change of leadership happen, we actually undermine the impact it has on the performance of the employee. That's one. That's the major issue that we have. We are addressing that with the secondment of Mr. Moremi from the minister's office. We're starting to see work being done, because people will go and they do work, they never prepare reports that are supposed to be reported, and there was no accountability in terms of the leadership there. We are addressing that that matter. And the issue of the police stations, the police stations implementing school safety, that's why we're saying it's a carryover. Exactly the same thing, that people will go and do an assessment of those schools, and reports were not done. And with the intervention at the end of the financial year, it was then that we ended up finding those reports being finalized.
Is this all the responses?
One chairperson.
Right, maybe follow-ups on this, Honourable Mbele.
Thanks, Chair. It's a second round as well as a second round of questions. Two quick ones and then one possibly long one. Is on slide 15, there was mention of one of the challenges being delays in obtaining information from SEPs. Can I just get some clarity on what kind of delays that refers to? Is it a matter of the SEPs saying that they need more time to get the information because it's complex or difficult to collate, or is it a case of in some instances sort of quite direct non-cooperation because the IPID has encountered some challenges in that second regard, where SAPS is simply failing in their obligation to cooperate with and assist the departments. So just clarity unpacking what those delays entail. And then, Chair, just to follow up on the response from the Acting Secretary and to confirm that I understood the timelines correctly. So I heard that the DPSA had approved the extension of his secretary for term for 3 months, which would take us to the end of November. So by my calculation, that means that we should have a permanent secretary appointed by the start of December. Can I just double check that I understood all of those details and those timelines correctly? And then my third question, Chair, is just to check if any aspects of the anti-xenophobia campaign is still in implementation. Because I want to confirm some information that I've received that the Secretariat is sponsoring a cultural festival of some kind which would promote anti-xenophobia messaging, and I just want to check if I got the right information or if I'm crossing wires. Is any elements of the anti-xenophobic campaign still continuing, and in what form, if so? Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much. Any other questions? Honourable Mula, we're in our second round and follow-ups.
These questions in the first quarter, in slide 9, you said two provinces implemented CPF guidelines in the first quarter. What about the 7 provinces? Or these 2 provinces was your target or what? My second question, in slide 20, number of compliance monitoring reports related to domestic violence not approved by the secretary per year. In your comments, what do you mean? Oh, it's lack of capacity again. In all your presentation, you include lack of capacity, so I don't know. All of the are having lack of capacity. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you. Maybe 2 questions from my side. The one deals with the white paper process. And the role of community police forums. Now, during our visit to the Eastern Cape last week, I think it was at New Brighton, or KwaZulu, one of the chairpersons again raised the issue of having the necessary financial capability, because SAPS from their side, they can't provide stipends and other resources to the CPFs. So in terms of the white paper process and also going forward with the SAPS Amendment Act, where are we currently with the whole question of CPFs, and what is the role of the police secretariat in ensuring that we move forward with regard to that? Because it's a major issue that was raised during our visit. The second issue, I don't get it in your presentations today, is the issue of the DNA board. Now, we're going to invite them in November to come back to us. But that issue that was quite on the foreground of, I think it was 3.5 million available, but I just want to know in terms of your expenditure, you know, what is currently the position of the DNA board? Have you made enough, provision for that? Is there currently a financial crisis there? Can we just have an update? Because it's all one of those institutions that report you. Members, any other questions for the second round? Right, let's go to the responses. Acting Secretary.
Thank you, Chair. Let me start with the DNA board funding, and the director of finance will actually deal with the actual funding. In the last meeting of the DNA board that I attended, but there was a recent one last week, which I was not there, but my chief director, who is my representative, was there. I made a presentation because there's this understanding that if it's in the act, it must be funded. That's what the board was saying. I asked that when I go to the MTF the MTech process, which is happening now, I need a business plan or an APP that says for this year, this is what we're going to do. What I got from the board was a set of slides of workshops that they had and so on, which makes it difficult for one to go and present a special case for them outside the civilian secretariat for police. But with the information that we had, we actually took their needs on board of our proposals, and we submitted to MTech in terms of the needs that they have. They had requested the secretariat and the kind of skills that they require, which this funding that we believe we will have for them. But I think the director will explain how much is that funding. And until such time that we can have a proper business plan, we cannot go and ask for funding. You can go and get that 3 million that they're asking for, and it gets underspent because they don't have specific programs that we can come and you say, these are the targets that must be delivered, and this is how it's going to be done. The board is still in that process of establishing that. Maybe when they come to present, let them present their business plan, because they struggle to come out with a business plan. And we shared with them in terms of the template that Treasury requires when you request funding. And I don't know if Advocate Bell would like to give some feedback in terms of the last discussion which we have, because we're looking in terms of the issue of their funding. But there's money that we have allocated in the process. It's not something which is above what we have as the department. It's the money that is within our budget, as we have been funding them for the few months that they've been in place.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, as Secretary said, I represented him at that last meeting, and we did point out that we actually needed a business plan that we can work with, because what we had was just figures that was required for various functions within the DNA board. And we asked the Director of Finance to elaborate to the board what exactly we needed. So So perhaps he'll be able to better explain the finances to you.
Thank you, Chair. In the meeting, we did indicate to the board members that, first of all, in the last two processes, MTF processes that we went through with National Treasury, we did make a special request for additional funding for the board. But as the committee members should be aware of, is that there is no additional funding available at the moment for government departments. The idea is that departments should fund anything new from their baseline, and that is also what we've done for the board. For the current financial year, I've indicated that we do have about 2.7 million rand available. Their original estimate of things that they would be doing for the current financial year was nearer to 3.5 million. But I then also indicated to the board that because of the slow movement around things that the board are busy with, there's no use in us cutting funds in our core services to fund the board, and they're not going to utilize the funding. So we'll rather add more to the 2.7 million during the year by cutting somewhere else than to give them this high amount, and then they don't spend it, and then it's too late for us to as a department to utilize it for something that could have contributed more. They then indicated that they understand if we do it that way around. We've also, like the secretary indicated earlier, we're waiting for the final approval from the minister for the positions to support the DNI board, and we've made a provision for those posts. So as soon as we have that approval, the post can be filled, and we'll be able to pay those people. And the other thing that the DNI board members also complained about is the payment of the non-government members for coming to the meetings, and that has also been sorted out. We've got the approval from the two ministers, Minister of Police and Minister of Finance, so we've been paying them their fee that should be going to them every time that they come to a meeting. So I think in the last meeting that we had with the board, a lot of the issues around the budget was sorted out, and I do understand that money is not readily available, but we as a department are really trying to accommodate them within our baseline to make sure that we don't hold them up in their processes and their work that they need to do, but also not cutting our own throats so that we also cannot deliver on our own work. And I think in the last meeting it did come out clearly that they do understand that, and that they will rather work with us than against us when it comes to the money issues.
Thank you for that report. All the other responses, please. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. The issue of the CSP funding the cultural festival. Maybe let me just explain. We have a memorandum of understanding with an NGO called Indoni, which was signed by the previous minister in 2014. And they have been a request, and through that memorandum of agreement, we work with them, dealing with issues of the anti-crime campaigns, and even in the time when there was the issue of anti-xenophobia, we also worked with them on that program. The request has been sent to us, which
they would like to get funding regarding this program, which include even the issues of the anti-crime campaign. It's a program that involves the youth, but there hasn't been any approval regarding that, because that memorandum of agreement, there is a specifics that this is what they should adhere to when they request us to support them. But we haven't approved that request. On the issue of the recruitment of the secretary, as I indicated, it's not up to me to say by December you will have a permanent secretary. But what I can guarantee you is that I won't be the acting secretary on the 1st of December, because the Minister of Public Service and Administration won't allow my acting to be extended. If I read the conditions for the approval well, that's what I can say. But whether we will have a permanent, I think it's a matter that the minister will be able to answer. The issue of delays in obtaining information from SAPS, is it lack of cooperation? In some cases, it could be that, but some of them you find that this misunderstanding of the role of the Civilian Secretariat for Police Service, that you find that information when you request, it take long to do that. So to avert that now, we have agreed that we will have a letter of engagement, which I've already sent to the acting national commissioner, beginning of the year, a letter of engagement which says this is our program, and we referred to the act to say this is our responsibilities, we will request this information. So this is upfront. I think one of the issues was they saw us as coming and being reactive. We want them to do things now, but we didn't inform them, so that they put their plans together. That management intervention team, we are working closely with the new management intervention team that has been established under General Cruiser to actually unblock some of these issues. And maybe by the end of the year, I can come and report to say, how is that process going based on this new approach that we are having? The issue of the implementation of the CPF guidelines, it was the targets is about assessment that will go to provinces quota, and then we will have a report that indicate whether they are implementing those guidelines or not. So every quarter we have set that quarter we set a target of two provinces. And all the others, by the end of the year, we will be saying all of them are implementing, or if there are some that are not implementing, that will be reported. The issue of the CPF funding, it links up with the amendment of the South African Police Service Act. The white paper is clear in terms of how we should do this. But some provinces, we got a report because we had a discussion on this matter at the HOD meeting. There are some provinces that have got stipends that they pay to the members of the CPFs. Some don't. So there is not uniformity in terms of how we are applying this. We had a workshop with all the provinces a month ago, where we are looking in terms of how best can, in the interim, while we are looking into the implementation of the white paper, because we don't have the mandate from our legislation to say you can fund them. It says you must support them. And the support is not clear in terms of what, but we won't have the funds actually to support them from the center. It should be supported from the provinces. So that strategy in line with the white paper on policing, I think once we finish that in terms of how we're going to approach this issue, we can come and present it to the portfolio committee. It's a major issue, because sometimes you find that there's a meeting that this one has to attend, and you find that funding or there's no transport that has been arranged, and the role that they play actually end up suffering. What's the other one? I don't know if I... Oh. I think the issue about the question was it slide is 21. It's on civilian monitoring. I've already I think responded to that issue. It's the work, and now at least because we have the chief director here, we'll be able to analyze the report. There's no excuse that you will say, no, I don't have this one. I will expect that these things will be done on time. I had somebody doubling up as the chief, acting chief, and also having to do their work. And in that situation, there's also dynamics that you have to manage. But that's my belief, that with the stabilization that we are having, we won't be reporting like this. Thank you, Chair.
On Mhlongo, you're the last. I just want to have a 5-minute tea break before we took the other two presentations. You're welcome.
No, Chairperson, what I was thinking of was, is it not possible, Chairperson, through you, that we invite the DNA board to appear before the committee so that they can actually then explain to us in detailed terms. The reason why I'm concerned is because I think quite a number of departments are prejudiced even only if there is a delay in terms of implementation of the DNA Act, as you know, in terms of our points of entries and all that. Even in terms of assistance to SAPS members. So I think it will be quite prudent even only if we can actually then get them appear before the committee so that we can actually then begin to understand what are their problems. Thanks.
Yeah, I think they're on provisionally on the November program, I think the second last week. We want to engage with them, so we will definitely take that on board. Thank you, members. If we can just take a 5-minute tea break, 5 minutes, that we can start at 12 with the other two presentations. Thank you very much.
I'm going to go to the hospital.
Members, 1 minute. Right, thank you, members. We're going to continue. We're first going to deal with the DBA. Yeah, if we can, maybe. DBA? Yeah, let's start with the DBA, because I think most of the questions will be regarding the DBA, so the members, and then after the DBA directly, we can just look briefly at the implementation report of the CSP. Thank you.
Chairperson, maybe if I can start. Ms. Ngwana will make the presentation. What we have done is to just give a trend from 2012 up to date in terms of how the DVA is being implemented. And also when it comes to the last slide, some of the interventions that we are embarking on to improve some of the challenges that we have identified together with SAPS. Thanks.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Good morning, members. Like the Secretary has said, our presentation is going to be focusing on the trends since we started with the DBA monitoring. As way of introduction, the Civil Secretariat for Police, as mandated by the Act, has been tasked to monitor compliance and implementation of the Domestic Violence Act by the SAPS members. Furthermore, the DVA places a number of obligations on the SAPS to assist a person who has reported to be a victim of domestic violence. The obligations are accompanied by consequences should the SAPS member fail to implement them properly as outlined in both the Act and the National Instruction. This report will therefore look at the trends in DVA compliance, the non-compliance by the members, and interventions in place to ensure improved implementation between the periods 2012 and the 2016 financial year. I think it should be noted that during the 2012, we only started reporting as of October 2012, not from the beginning of the financial year. In terms of the compliance levels, the compliance level are still unacceptable, as when it comes to a response to Domestic Violence Act, members should implement 100% in order to ensure the complainants are receiving appropriate service from the service. As we will see in the graph that follows, there is a steady improvement that can be attributed to implementation of recommendations that are being made by the Secretariat. The SAPS and the CSP have established a forum for regular engagements at both national and provincial level. That is called the Compliance Forum, and it is related to what the Secretary spoke about earlier on. The forum has not yet been established in all provinces, but there are processes in place to ensure that is replicated in all the provinces. As I've indicated, that's the graph that shows us the compliance levels from the periods from between October 2012 and March 2013. Out of the stations that we had visited during that period, which was the total number of stations that we visited that period was 145. Our compliance level was at 65% based on those stations. And then during the financial year 2013 and 2014, a total number of 280 police stations was visited, and the levels were at 71%. And 2014-15, a total number of 335 stations were visited, and the compliance levels were at 74%. And for the 2015-16 financial year, a total number of 507 police stations were visited, and the compliance levels were at 81%. Going back to the slide before that, I think in our previous appearance at the committee, a concern was raised with regard to our sampling methodology, which does not allow for generalization of findings. And I think the other challenge was that the stations visited by provinces, the numbers varied a lot, with stations doing very little and some doing a lot of stations, despite the agreement we have with the provinces that each province should at least do a minimum of 16 police stations per annum. So based on those concerns, an engagement started with the Statistics South Africa, and based on those engagements, the following were decided that in the financial year 17-18, we will undertake a census approach, which means all police stations across the country will be visited within a specific period. That is, we're looking at doing this within a period of one quarter. The aim is to gather baseline data that will provide an accurate status of DBA compliance in the country. And then this census will be conducted every 5 years. However, in between the census periods, a sample of stations in each province will be visited to monitor implementation of the recommendations made. Then Stats SA will assist the CSP in refining our DBA tool that we are using to collect data to ensure that it's user-friendly and it gives us information that we require. In terms of the sample in between the census, the Stats SA is also assisting us in terms of making sure that we develop a reliable sample that is statistically sound. Then going to non-compliance by members, the following numbers have been recorded by the CSP from police stations visited over the mentioned years. From that period, October 2012 to March 2013, there were 15 non-compliance, and these were complaints that we inherited from the ICD that we followed up on. And then during the 2013-14, there were 237. And these non-compliances in the following years were mainly administrative non-compliances. And 2014-15, we had 218, and 2015-16, we had 235 from all those stations visited. And like I'm indicating, that these were mainly administrative non-compliance, which is the failure by members to properly complete registers and maintain documents as per the national instruction. In terms of the 2015-16 financial year, that's the breakdown provincially. Within the Free State, we had 64 non-compliances reported, with 62 of those having undergone disciplinary processes. In KZN, there was one, and that's that went through the disciplinary processes. Limpopo, we had 130, with 115 of those having undergone disciplinary processes. And in the Northwest, we had 12, with 11 gone through the processes. And then Western Cape, we had 28. And then the total of those non-compliances is 235, with disciplinary processes undertaken having been 211. And just to indicate that the remaining number there between the non-compliances and the disciplinary processes, which is about 24, those were mainly the complaints from the public, and those are still under investigation, so the disciplinary processes have not been finalized. And in the disciplinary processes that have been undertaken, it's mainly verbal warnings and remedial steps like counseling, just to help the members correct their administrative challenges.
Bother at this stage, but I mean that's our problem with the statistics. I mean, the majority of the country is excluded. It's only a few provinces that's been sampled. But we'll go to question. You can continue.
I think just to clarify that before I continue, that yes, it is a challenge that we're still having. The provinces that have zeros there are the provinces that during the station audits reported that there were no non-compliances that they have detected, so they did not report on those. So our challenge is that we still haven't been able to consolidate our information with the SAPS as yet. It should be noted that these numbers are based on information collected by the SAPS only on police stations visited. Through the compliance forum and the implementation of the DVA SOP, the CSP will be able to report more accurately on a national picture. As reflected in the figures above, the members that are failing to comply with DVA seems to be increasing. This may be attributed to the fact that the SAPS have strengthened its recording and reporting mechanisms. Therefore, statistics that were previously not coming through are being revealed. Sanctions imposed by the SAPS are still minimal, and this may also contribute to non-compliance levels not decreasing. This therefore poses another challenge to the SAPS that they need to heighten their response in handling of non-compliance. The expectation is that numbers should increase as an indication that SAPS is reporting truthfully. Then by handling this matter adequately and ensuring that members that either fail to comply or commit acts of domestic violence are reprimanded appropriately, there should be a steady decline over a period of time. The CSP will continue to monitor if non-compliances are handled properly by the SAPS in line with the DVA and the SAPS disciplinary regulations. Then in terms of members that are offenders of domestic violence, the two graphs below show the numbers throughout the periods that we're reporting on, with 2012-13, that October to March, being 88 members, and then on the 2013-14, 133. Then 2014-15, we had 121. And then in 2015-16, we had 185. Then that is the breakdown on the other graph of the numbers for the 2015-16 periods, with the Eastern Cape reporting 16 members, Free State 24 members, Gauteng 15 members, KZN 12 members, Limpopo 12 members, Mpumalanga 10, Northwest 28, Northern Cape 4, and Western Cape 74 members. The number of members who are perpetrators of domestic violence has increased when compared to the previous financial years. The CSP made a recommendation that the process of investigating these matters must be handled at either cluster or provincial level and not at station level as it is currently happening. Another possible solution that we thought of could be maybe have these matters being included in matters that are being investigated by the IPITs, which would mean that will the IPIT Act would have to be amended. The SAPS interventions throughout this period. The CSP has made various recommendations over the years on how SAPS can effectively intervene in fighting the scourge of domestic violence. The recommendations were made through the Compliance Forum and the reports to Parliament. Out of those, SAPS has been engaged in a number of remedial steps, including the following. They have conducted capacity building sessions to identify solutions and address challenges experienced in implementation of various legislations, including the Domestic Violence Act. They've issued directives to provinces and police stations to ensure that certain measures are put in place in order to improve compliance. They have conducted an impact study on the domestic violence learning program to measure whether the program is effective or not. And in May 2015, we signed the standard operating procedures between ourselves and the SAPS, and these are to kind of improve the reporting between the two departments. The report illustrates that the level of compliance is steadily increasing based on police station visits conducted between October 2012 and March 2016. Non-compliance by the SAPS members is still very high, even though the members reflected are based only, the numbers reflected are based only on police stations visited. And the CSP will continue to improve its monitoring process in order to ensure that compliance is improved. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your presentation. Can we have also the other presentation? Briefly, just a high-level overview of the implementation of the CSP Act. Thank you very much.
Advocate Bell will present the next presentation.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Secretary. Okay, so the status report on the implementation of the Civilian Secretariat for Police Service Act 2 of 2011 is as follows. I'm going to just proceed on a follow-up of what was last presented to the Portfolio Committee and just give you an update on that. In terms of Section 2, sorry, 4, Sub 2, 4, Sub 3 and 14, which basically is about the establishment of a Civilian Secretariat as a designated department, this has been fully implemented. In terms of Section 6, also the functions of the Civilian Secretariat and establishment of competencies and capabilities has also been established, fully implemented. On slide 3, Section 7 and 12, the appointment of the Secretary, as well as the Minister to fill the vacancy of Secretary, this has been explained to the House in detail by the Secretary, but I'll just add to say that the post was advertised, shortlisting has been completed, technical exercise is due to be finalized but before the end of next week, and then the appointment process will proceed with the after consultation with the cabinet. In terms of Section 10, delegations and assignment of functions, the department has been lacking in this because the because of the non-establishment of the provincial secretariat's heads, of which we just also heard that only four have been established. But however, in terms of the Public Service Act and the PFMA, these delegations have been finalized and implemented since February 2015. In terms of Section 13 and 34.7, which is that the Secretary must submit quarterly reports to the Minister and to Parliament, this has also been fully implemented. Slide 4. In terms of Section 15, which is basically for the Secretary to prepare and submit annual reports to the Minister within 5 months after the end of the financial year. Annual reports have been submitted, the first one being for 2014-2015 was submitted in August 2015, and the second annual report was submitted to the Minister in August 2016. Section 16, 17, 18, 19 and 22, which also involves the establishment of the provincial secretariats, it's been reported that four have been appointed, four secretariat heads have been appointed, and that's in the Northwest, KZN, the Western Cape, and Gauteng. The ones that haven't yet appointed heads are the Northern Cape, and the reason for that is that they've got budget constraints as a challenge, and to assist the situation, they have appointed a senior management to be responsible for the functions in terms of this act. Mpumalanga has also not yet established their secretariat head, and that is also because of financial constraints. There is an acting chief director that's responsible for the management of this program. Free State reported that the post was advertised, interviews have been conducted, and an acting chief director is currently fulfilling the responsibilities until the selection process has been finalized and the appointment has been granted, approval has been granted for the appointment by the MEC. in Limpopo, also not yet established, and they are in the process of finalizing their structures and awaiting directives from the MEC. There is a chief director for civilian oversight who attends meetings of the provincial secretaries. And lastly, the Eastern Cape, they also have not appointed, but there is a provincial head in the Department of Safety and Liaison that carries out these functions through delegations of these functions to senior management within the department. Move on to slide 5. Sections 23 and 25, this is in terms of the secretary and heads of provincial departments. They must meet on at least a quarterly basis. This has been taking place. This forum has been established and meetings take place on a quarterly basis, the last of which was a week ago in KZN. In terms of the senior management forum, this forum has been established. The first meeting was held on the 26th of July 2016, and the next meeting is scheduled for next week Friday, being the 30th of September 2016. Section 27, the Ministerial Executive Committee, which is commonly known as MINMEC, this has also been fully implemented, and the Secretary for Police plays a supportive role at this forum. In terms then on slide 6 of sections 31 and 32, the cooperation with the Independent Police Investigative Directorate, a consultative forum has been established, and there's a cooperative framework which has been developed and signed off. The Civilian Secretariat is in the process of reviewing the terms of reference to enhance the functioning of the forum. In terms of cooperation with the South African Police Services, the cooperation is that in terms of engagement letters which are sent out on an annual basis, which indicate the projects the Civilian Secretariat is working on in order to inform SAPS and to ensure that the necessary arrangements are made in terms of such cooperation. And if I can just elaborate on this, in terms of the legislative program, we do communicate on a yearly basis with SAPS Legal and ourselves in terms of the program that we are going to follow for that financial year. Section 33 on slide 7, in terms of the regulations, the regulations have been drafted and they were tabled in Parliament on the 1st of June 2016, and a presentation has been prepared for this committee to be presented on Thursday, the 22nd of September 2016. Section 34, the transitional arrangement provisions, here again, the quarterly reports are received by the Secretary in terms of Section 13, which include the progress of the establishment of the provincial secretariats. There is a standing item on the HOD forum meetings, and this item is discussed there. However, we've been lacking in providing this information to this committee, and in future, the progress on the establishment of the provincial secretariats will be included in our quarterly reports to the Portfolio Committee on Police. And that brings me to the end of my presentation. Thank you.
Thank you very much for those two reports. Members, we will go immediately then to questions. The first two from my side on the DBA. I just want to get a sense of your cooperation with Stats SA. In terms of the SAPS presentation that we had with the crime stats, it was quite indicated that there's a memorandum of understanding, there's a real framework ongoing, but I just want to get the sense, will you also be issuing a certificate like Stats SA if you present the DVA report or your yearly reports? I just want to get a sense of that. When will it be implemented? Will it be in the next interim report or quarterly sample, or is it that something that's just envisaged? The second issue is also again the question of the stats. I mean, how do you on slide seven? Again, the question of Eastern Cape, Gauteng, KZN, just to mention three of the five. There's no report of non-compliance. How valid is that? Right, let's go to the other members. Honourable Mulabatsi.
Thank you, Chairperson. Can we be provided with the reason why the non-compliance should be investigated at cluster and provincial level? That's my first one. My second one, still on DVA. What is the reason for the members of SAPS to fail to comply with DVA, which is on the increase? Thanks, Chair.
Honourable Bachi, Honourable Mabija, Honourable Mula.
Thank you, Chairperson. What are the outcomes of the disciplinary processes at the stations? My second question, how often do the compliance forum meet and why has it not been established in the provinces? My third question, in slide 3 you said compliance forum has not yet been established in all provinces. Can you please give clarity which provinces are established and that are not established, and when are you going to be established? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thanks, Chair. I have two concerns and one question. My first concern is just very briefly that if we look at the issue around compliance with the Civilian Secretariat of Police Acts, technically the minister has been in contravention of Section 7, I think subsection 2, for a good number of months now, because that vacancy is meant to be filled within a year. But I'll restrain my vitriol until we see what happens in December. And then I may need to unleash the dragon at that point. But my second concern is around this issue of the provincial secretariats not being convened or established. And I'm not quite sure what the problem is on the side of the provinces, because this really should be the simplest thing in the world to do. If we look at the fact that the monitoring and oversight function of the provincial secretariats is exactly in line with the constitutional mandate of provinces to do police oversights, it should be as simple as the Department of Community Safety appointing a senior manager to be the provincial secretariats. And then on an operational, functional level, it's exactly what the department is meant to be doing anyway, police oversights in the province, monitoring police conducts. So the issue of resource constraints to me is not an insurmountable one to actually achieve compliance in this regard. And I'd like to ask if the committee, MANCOM, can look at how we can just bring the issue of provincial compliance on the radar, because all of those provincial departments of community safety don't really have an excuse. You already have current capacity. Just appoint somebody to become the provincial secretariat, and a large chunk of what is required of them in terms of this act around monitoring and oversight is what they're meant to be doing anyway, according to section, I think it's 206 of the Constitution. So I'm really concerned about that. There's no excuse, and I think the committee needs to apply some pressure in that regard. My only question is about the planned census, as it's called, of the police stations in the next financial year. And that's going to be a 5-yearly exercise, as I understand. But I'm just wondering how that is being planned for, how that's going to be implemented to cover every police station in the country in the comprehensive manner that's intended, given the difficulties that the Secretariat is having now in having a big enough footprint with the samples of stations that are inspected. I would assume other departments are going to be brought on board, but what is the plan to make sure that you can cover all the police stations next year to establish those baselines, given the difficulty that you've had so far? Thanks, Chair.
No, thanks, Chairperson. Only two. I wonder if maybe you, in your report, as you are suggesting that there seems to be a rise in terms of violations from the side of members of police when it comes to this act, whether you have actually then diagnosed as to the causative factors of that particular kind of behavior. But number two, which is quite worrisome to me, you know, in your slide 8, you are saying that through the compliance forum and implementation of the DVA SOP, the CSP will be able to report more accurately on a national picture. What worries me, and also you are also further saying that you actually visited, your reporting is based on visited police stations. Then what worries me is the role of provincial secretariat in terms of gathering of this. Can you strengthen that arm so that you don't necessarily rely to say you will have to visit as a national structure, province by province, in order to gather details of this particular information, so that the provincial secretariat can actually then be able to transmit a genuine report to you, either on monthly basis or whatever time frequency that you set up with them, so that you can then be able to have a sense of all provinces. And also, I think that will also reduce the kind of expenditure that you incur traveling around the country unnecessarily. That is my main concern, that if you can't actually then strengthen that arm of machinery in terms of reporting, I think it will be quite difficult or impossible for you to actually then deliver on this. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Chairperson. My first question would be on, I think IPED reported that they've got a memorandum of understanding with the acting National Commissioner of SAPS, that SAPS will implement their recommendations as they are. Then I was just trying to check, is that the case with the Civilian Secretariat? If not, are they planning to do that? Does the Act allow them to do, or maybe it's a memorandum of understanding. It means they can do it at any time. Are they planning to do that, or is that the case? And the second one, I would like to be reminded, according to the Act itself, who is responsible for the appointment of the provincial heads? Is it the MEC, meaning that is the province itself, or does the Civilian Secretariat at national have a say, or are they also responsible for that, or what is their function in relation to that, the appointment and the reporting mechanism the provincial heads, who do they report to? Do they report to the MEC in the province, or do they report to the national, or what is the situation? Because if we don't understand that, then we can keep on saying you must appoint, and if the function is not aligned, I mean, to the national secretariat, then that's going to be a problem. Thank you, Chairperson.
Okay, Honorable Groenewald.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I think we must be honest to say that I think the secretariat as well as the police are failing the victims of domestic violence. If you look at this report, there's not proper monitoring. Yes, there may be constraints and everything. So, Chairperson, I received some complaints from the people, from the public, when it comes to the handling of the DVA. And one thing that was quite disturbing for me is that there's a practice that when victims come and complain with the police just send them straightly to the prosecutors. They don't do any investigation. It's just a matter of let's just deviate it away from the police. And then, actually, it's not in court. Well, it's technically, but then they appear in the offices of the magistrates to try to solve these sort of problems. I've put in a question to the minister on this matter. Is the secretariat aware of this practice? And if not, why not? And if they are, what are they doing about it? The second thing is, Chairperson, there's always a matter, for instance, if there was an assault, which is part of the domestic violence, then people don't know. Is it a separate criminal case? Do you handle it as assault as such? Or is it part of the domestic violence case? And I also want to ask the Secretariat, how do they handle those situations? Do they ask the questions for the police members? How they deal with matters like that? Those are the two questions. Thank you, Chair.
Honourable Bija.
You know, I don't precisely know how to put my question to Secretariat, because with non-compliance, I should think my questions could be relevant to SAPS, because it's like SAPS is failing Secretariat, because it's SAPS members who are not complying, and SAPS is the one that is responsible to see to it that its members comply. So I don't know. That's why I don't have a question, because my questions concerning this non-compliance.
You would remember, Honorable Mabija, we had a year or so ago a joint meeting with both those institutions on this issue. But I think what we should do in that second week of October, when we meet on the annual reports, that during program two and program one, we must raise we will specifically raise these issues to SAPS. So I think because SAPS is not here today, we will definitely during the annual report process. I just got a final question to the Acting Secretary before we go to the Secretariat. Now, it's also about the location of the issue of domestic violence. You know, how do we deal with it? And I think over the years, it's been, you know, it's at a lower level, maybe at the province level as a colonel and a brigadier that deals with it, or people don't pitch. Now, in terms of your report, there is an upward trend in terms of non-compliance. Now, I want to ask the Secretary, did you meet with the Acting National Commission on this issue? Right, those are the questions. Let's go to the responses.
Thanks, Chair. I will try to answer those easy one, and the technicians will deal with the most difficult one. Let me start on the issue of the location of the domestic violence.
We haven't met with the acting national commissioner, but I met with the team that is responsible for the implementation of the Domestic Violence Act, and we dealt with issues, including the legal people from their side, and I think at the time when we met, the attitude was, we don't know what we are talking about. But I think after that meeting, we both agree that we have to work together to make this work. I must say, since I joined, except other meetings arranged by the minister, we haven't managed to have a meeting with the National Commission. I'm supposed to have one tomorrow, and it has been cancelled, so I was going to go back for that meeting, but we are working on it that we have the one-on-one. So I'm using, as I indicated, the management intervention team, which is there, and the forum that has been created to deal with the DVA on the DVA matter. Let me just check the other. The issue about the appointment of the provincial heads, it is the responsibility of the MEC in consultation with the Minister of Police to appoint the provincial heads. And those provincial heads of the secretariat, they report to the heads of the departments, because there's a distinction between the provincial heads of the secretariat and the heads of department. But in terms of ensuring alignment and coordination, the Act makes a provision for that senior management forum that is chaired by the secretary, which actually deals with it. So it's not a direct reporting responsibility, it's an indirect in terms of the function. So that forum, which we started having meetings now, it's a clearing house, and it deals with all the issues that needs to be done, all technical issues, before we take the matters to the heads of departments and the MINMEC. the issue that has been raised by Honorable Kurnewald regarding the cases that are not investigated, just referred to the National Prosecuting Authority. We are not aware of that. I think it's an issue that we'll need to get more details around that. What we discussed in the first sitting of the Senior Management Forum was, we need to go beyond the issue of whether SAPS is complying with our legislation, but also we go into the courts to see whether we are really succeeding in terms of what are the outcomes of the cases that we take up there. It's an issue that has been put on the table. The OHODs are looking into that. Different provinces are approaching this matter differently. The Western Cape has got what they call the watching brief, which they will identify certain cases that they will go and analyze it at a court level. The KZN, Limpopo, and I don't know which other provinces, they do, the Northwest, they do what they call the docket analysis process. So we're going to have a process wherein we come out with a standardized process in terms of how do we take this matter forward, because I don't think it's only exclusive to the DVA matter. It goes beyond that. And one of the issues that we have discussed with IPID regarding the issue of the domestic violence is that part of amending the Act is that the cases of domestic violence which are perpetrated by the police should be handled by IPID. So it's one of the amendments that we will make in the legislation, but it will be up to the members of parliament whether that will be approved, because currently it's treated as any other a crime. It's not having specifics. So if there's an investigation of the police officer on a domestic violent case, it will be done by another police officer, which we believe it's not appropriate. IPID might be the best place to deal with that. And there's agreement between us and IP to deal with that. I think I will rest my case there and ask the team to deal with the other questions that I might have left out. Thanks.
Thank you, other responses? Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. The Chief will speak more on our cooperation with Stats SA and just explain on those questions. In terms of the other questions that have not been addressed by the Secretary, the investigation at cluster level, it's like he has said, that basically refers to the offenders, the members that are offenders, not the members who fail to comply, but those members that are perpetrators of domestic violence themselves. The issue of no reporting in terms of non-compliance by certain provinces, I think it's like the challenge that we've said, we've indicated that it's because it's based on the stations that I visited. But by us setting up the compliance forum, and we're hoping that by the end of this financial year, all provinces will have set up the structure. And the expectation is that the meetings at provincial level should be sitting on monthly basis, whereby when the SAPS is sending their stats to the national offices, they also report to the provincial secretariats on those stats. Then the provincial secretariats will send the stats to us. So we are trying to strengthen that at that level of cooperation between ourselves. And the provinces so far that have established the provincial secretariats, it's the Western Cape, and they are meeting on monthly basis. It's the Eastern Cape, it's Limpopo, and the Free State. So we will be assisting other provinces as well to establish the compliance forum. In terms of why members are failing to comply, I think this was a discussion we had with the Chief when he just started now. It is partly the attitudes, because we are seeing that training is improving when we look at the training stats with the SAPS. So basic training involves domestic violence, and the 5-day trainings and 3-day trainings are occurring continuously. So our assumption is that it's the attitudes, but then we have discussed amongst ourselves that we need to do a study on that just to be sure what exactly is the reason, why is the compliance not improving. SAPS national office is issuing a number of directives like on monthly basis, but the implementation of those is a challenge with results then in the non-improvement in compliance. So it is a study that we're going to engage in also in the new financial year, just to get into the root causes of why is there no improvement in the levels of compliance, or is it like improving very slowly.
Sorry, just follow up there from Honorable Molebatsi on the response.
On the issue of attitude, do you have steps in place to address it?
Honorable Member, I think like I've said that it's an assumption from our side at the moment. We haven't verified that it is the attitudes, but because we're seeing that training is not the issue, so we're assuming that it is the attitude, but then the study that we will conduct will be able to inform us if it is indeed the attitude that is a problem. Then once we have that, then we'll come up with the recommendations on what can be done to address those.
Did you also follow up on that response?
With attitudes, do you mean that there's a sort of sabotage of national instruction?
I wouldn't say, Honourable Member, it's sabotage. But I think what we understand is that we still have members of the SAPS that were there from, you know, the previous regimes before the training, the SAPS training was improved. So those members are still maybe stuck in that way of doing things, and there is the perception within the SAPS that domestic violence is a soft issue. it's not a serious crime. So they tend to place importance in house robberies, murder, and all that. So for domestic violence, they tend to think it's just a soft issue that needs mediation, and you know, it's a waste of time and all that. So I wouldn't say it's the sabotage, but it's probably not really recognizing the amount of impact it has on people. Like, as they're not taking it as serious as they should be. I think I can put it that way.
Chairperson, on this remark, how many of these previous dispensation police members you citing to say that they're the problem? Because I've asked a question in Parliament about this. And you know, according to what the minister said, if you go back to that, we have very few members from the previous dispensation. So you're making a statement accusing them. That is where the problem is.
I think I remember, like I said, that it's an assumption that we are making. We are going to conduct a study that will tell us exactly what the challenges are. So we are not saying that it's them, but it's part of the challenges that we've identified, that most of the old members tend to feel that, you know, domestic violence is a soft issue. It's not as serious as murder or rape or any other form of crime. So, but we need to get to the bottom of that and get to understand exactly why is it a challenge.
Chairperson, it's an assumption. I'm waiting for the report, and in the report, I'd also like to know how many people were from the previous dispensation. Because, Chairperson, this is an easy excuse to always refer it to the previous dispensation. It's not acceptable for me.
You can continue with the responses, thank you. Acting Secretary, yes. Yes, sir.
I just want to deal with the other response, but I think I would like, on behalf of my deputy director, to withdraw that statement that it's not, because we haven't proven it. But we'll do the assessment, and then we'll come back with a scientific report. I just wanted to just deal with some other questions. I just realized that the issue about the arrangements with States SA, we don't have an agreement that it's signed. It's on request from the statistician general. But when we come to the census that we're going to do, there will be a formal agreement, because there are resources that needs to be availed. Provinces have committed themselves, because this initiative didn't come from us, it came from provinces, and they said for us to have a proper baseline and to address the concerns of the portfolio committee in terms of issue of generalization that we used in our previous reporting, let's do the census, put the resources together. So we'll have to have the memorandum of agreement with States SA. And that plan, we don't have a plan finalized currently. The team reported to the HODs in terms of how far they've gone in planning this thing. And I think in the last quarter, we will be clear to them to say how are we going to do it. And we will know how much money has been made available. Because States SA, they don't do things. Sometimes they employ people to do the census if you are going to. And we have to make sure that we make sure that that is accommodated. The IPED report, Honorable Make indicated that they have an MOU with the acting national commissioner. We attempted to get an MOU with the national commissioner, Pierre Kai, at the time. And we didn't succeed to get into that. That's why we resorted to the issue of saying the Act says this is what, because when you have the Act, it's not necessarily that you need to even have an MOU. The Act says this is what we're going to do. We would like you to cooperate, which is that engagement letter that I've sent to the National Commission. And that's what we are using. There's been reluctance even from all the other generals that we have an MOU. So we are using this issue of the engagement letter to try to address that. It was positive. Our initial meeting which we had, and they are also calling for a follow-up meeting. The initial meeting which we had with General Cruzda and his team, they were positive in terms of us adopting this process. But if it doesn't work, we will try the MOU again. But the Act is on our side in terms of what we are supposed to do and not. And we can even evoke the powers that we have in terms of the Act, where we can request information and demand that information. We have those powers. But for now, we're looking using the issue of cooperative governance to say it's not about, it's all of us together, let's work together. Thanks, Chair. Other questions that have, can you finish the other questions that have been left out?
Do you want to come in?
Thank you, Chairperson. I just want to top up on what the Mr. Mr. Rabea just mentioned that on behalf of her, he's withdrawing. You know, I'm not comfortable. Why? Because the human mind is very much unpredictable. Mostly during these periods of confusion. So I will request her to withdraw on her own to show that she understands that she uttered it just to keep it clear to everybody.
Honorable Marke.
Thank you, Chairperson. Still on the same topic, I'm not sure whether an assumption can be taken as being wrong. An assumption is an assumption. If she withdraws and maybe I agree with her, how do we work that one out? Because that happens. If you take a domestic violence case to the police station, they sometimes tell you to talk to your wife. They do that. If they do it with an outside person, what more if it's a police person himself or herself? So I'm not sure. I think an assumption is an assumption until it is proven wrong or right. And that is exactly what she said. They are going to look into it and that's my view, and if
yeah,
you say she must withdraw and
colleagues,
I agree
I
with
see,
her,
yeah.
I'm not sure
yeah.
how we are
colleagues,
going to
I see a lot of answer. Hands. I see a lot of hands, but it's 1 o'clock. I'm going to make a ruling. The accounting officer is Mr. Epia. He withdrew the issue, and that's that. We can pursue that topic when we also meet with SAPS. Let's get the other responses. It's 1 o'clock. We want to close. Thank you.
I think we'd cover all this, Honorable Chair.
Yes, Chairperson. Maybe Chairperson, if maybe one can actually then assist the civilian secretariat, particularly on the issue that was raised by Honorable Groenewald earlier on with regard to complaints by members of the public in terms of the handling of this. I understand that currently you are just using police stats, which might actually not necessarily give proper information as to what are the feelings of the communities in each and every particular area of jurisdiction. that maybe if you mobilize the interest groups, because or partnership, you establish partnerships in all provinces with some interest groups in the Zaino, for example. If you go to KZN, you will find such people that are just focused on these things of domestic violence, so that we can actually then up the scale of oversight in terms of police, and also then get our own independent reporting away from the police, but of course then eventually match that with the records of the police for verification of information. I think it will then cover the concern that Honorable Groenewald was talking about, because some of the reporting, I know, for example, of the two cases that have been given to me from Limpopo, whereby then police have just actually then done exactly what Honorable Groenewald is talking about. And the people are then complaining, and they don't know how to deal with this particular matter. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, members. Thank you very much, Secretary and Delik.
Can I just add to that, Chairperson, that, I mean, South Africa is going to be involved, that they also visit the magistrates and the prosecutors to get a big picture of, a complete picture.
Right, thank you very much for the briefing this morning. In terms of the fourth quarter and the first quarter, of course we note that, but we will of course have to look at the results of the annual report that will be tabled at the end of September, and we will engage then in the third week of October on these issues. It's important that those two vacancies were filled, and of course the filling of the post of the secretary is quite critical at this stage. In terms of the progress with regard to the implementation of the Secretariat Act, we take notice of those issues, but I think the issue of the provincial secretariats, I think we must move forward, and from the committee side, of course, we will also address that. In terms of the DVA, I think we've reached a stage now where we maybe should call for a joint meeting of the following committees in the fourth quarter: the PC on Justice and Correctional Services, the PC on Police, the Standing Committee on Justice and Security, the PC on Women and Children, and the PC on Social Development. Because this DVA Act has been on the table for a long time, some of the issues are continuing, and we must get a commitment from SAPS. We've had that joint meeting a year or so ago. If there is an increase in the issues of non-compliance, and remember there's five provinces that's still outstanding, we don't know what is the actuals there, we don't know. So we really need to arrest this issue head on, and also from SAP side, again, to highlight the importance of this issue. So we'll have to have that joint meeting in the fourth term, and we'll have to call the Acting National Commissioner as well to that meeting, that we can have buy-in at the highest level. Because if at the station level there is no commitment and there's laissez-faire approach, or they want to mediate, we're not going to deal with this issue going forward. So we'll have to do that. We're looking forward to the implementation of this census, but I think it's vital that the interim surveys continue and there's accountability. And that's where the provincial secretariats come in very closely. We'll maybe also have to call them to hear why there's no implementation of these forums. That's going to be critical. Honourable members, tomorrow morning, 9 o'clock, S26, that is the NCOP building, we will have the continuation of the program. Thank you very much for your kind attendance. Thank you, members.
Okay.